After the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 1,293 points, 5% yesterday, things are generally up again. Hi, David Brancaccio in New York here. European stock markets are up quite a bit this morning. The FTSE in London up 1.9%, but Tokyo fell 1.2% overnight. Hong Kong held steady. Here, the Dow future is up 0.6%, 161 points. Some of this buying was the sense that they overdid the selling last week, but there's also a bet that central banks can goose the world economy in the face of the coronavirus. In a few minutes, leaders of Group of Seven big economies are dialing into a conference call to talk about a unified approach. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
President Trump tweeted his support for action from the U.S. Fed early this morning, quote, "Our Federal Reserve has us paying higher rates than many others when we should be paying less," unquote. This came after Australia's central bank cut its official rate to a record low of 0.5%. Karen Petru, managing partner at Federal Financial Analytics, says policymakers have to consider this outbreak like they would a natural disaster and recognize that rate cuts aren't a silver bullet.
Think about a drought. The Fed can lower rates as much as it wants. It can't make it rain. It can't ensure that goods coming into the country or people coming into the country are safe. And that's the problem.
Coronavirus has infected almost 90,000 people and killed at least 3,000. It's also disrupted supply chains and eroded consumer demand. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, said the disease could cut global growth in half this year to 1.5%. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Is this virus remapping the global assembly line from raw material to components to factory to consumer? Or do we just say this every time there's a disruption, then revert to old patterns? The Economist magazine's U.S. business editor Vijay Vaitheswaran has been writing about this. Good to reconnect, Vijay.
Hi there. Good to be with you.
We've sort of been here before. You must remember 2011, terrible floods hit Thailand, and companies like Western Digital and Honda have trouble with their supply chains. And then 2015, the port blows up in China. Businesses are often reminded that being so far-flung has its vulnerabilities.
You're absolutely right. The way that we've organized our global supply chains the last 30 years has been to chase the cheapest source. Often it's been China. And we've had several warnings now. I think that there are signs that the latest warning from this coronavirus and its implications on supply chains may be the straw that breaks the camel's back when it comes to multinationals rethinking their supply strategies.
How do they rethink? They just pick more countries to route the supply chain through, or do they actually bring the production closer to what we would regard as home?
So there are several strategies. Experts that have been looking at this and sending up the warning flares for years now say the first and most important thing is visibility. Many multinationals don't know the supplier to their supplier, never mind the suppliers to those guys. And often they don't want to know. If you think about the issue of, for example, sweatshop labor, it has been a don't ask, don't look kind of policy among many multinationals. And so now that can no longer stand. They need to map oftentimes third or fourth order vulnerabilities so that they know. So visibility and transparency and mapping, assess your risk is point one. And point two is what you said, of course, and that is move away from single sourcing.
I mean, this does represent friction in the global trading system. When you were here last time last year, the Economist, well, you used the term, it's kind of ugly coinage, slobalization. It's globalization gone slow, I guess.
Well, there's nothing attractive about inefficiency and increased costs, I'm afraid. But yes, we have lots of evidence that we are in an age of slowing globalization or slobalization. And it's not just the trade war that President Trump initiated a few years ago. The evidence for this is over the last decade, companies have been beginning to rethink how they do supply chains. And some of these reasons are actually good reasons. Companies now want to have much shorter supply chains, faster turnarounds, be able to deliver products much more quickly. You know, we all want our packages or products within a day or two. Well, businesses want their parts within a day or two. They don't want to wait 30 days for a ship to bring it from China. And you can innovate much better when you have shorter supply chains.
Vijay Vaitheswaran is U.S. business editor at The Economist magazine. Several articles about this subject appear in the latest issue. Vijay, thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
With Super Tuesday top of mind this week, we wanted to give you an offer so super that you would not want to miss it. give $30 today to get our brand new Marketplace t-shirt designed especially for super fans like you. Now, your support is so important to what we do, and now we need you more than ever. Become a Marketplace investor and cast your vote for independent journalism. Donate today at marketplace.org, and thank you. Spring break for many is next month, and for those with the means, late winter is a time to plan for summer fun. With the virus, many are questioning whether it's wise to plunk down their credit cards to book a trip at this point. So there's travel insurance, which can cost up to 10% of a trip's budget. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore did some digging on what travel insurance does and does not do for you.
If you are afraid of traveling because of coronavirus, standard traveler's insurance is not going to help.
Fear of travel is not covered ever by any provider.
Ronnie Kanoyan is with InsureMyTrip.com, a site that compares travel insurance. Even if your trip is canceled by a government or an airline due to the virus, standard travel insurance is still not likely to help.
Unfortunately, viral outbreaks, epidemics, and pandemics are not typically listed in a policy.
Kasara Bartow is with travel insurance comparison site Squaremouth. It's seen a surge of inquiries over the virus. So what can you do to protect your trip? Brian Kelly is founder of The Points Guy, a travel website.
If you do want a real policy that will help you recoup your costs, you've got to get a cancel for any reason policy, which generally costs about twice as much as normal travel insurance.
And only covers maybe 75% of the cost of a trip. Kelly says check with airlines or cruise operators. They may be able to help. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
And with situations like this virus, economists know people often hoard. In Germany, they have a word for this, Hamsterkauf, hamster buying, the way little hamsters run around loading up their cheeks for lean times ahead. Der Spiegel reports signs of hamster buying of canned goods, pasta, toilet paper. Germany has about 129 coronavirus cases at last check. Our producers are Rose Conlon, Victoria Craig, Meredith Gerritsen, Candice Manriquez-Wren, Daniel Shin, and Erica Soderstrom. And we are from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.